Hi, this is Tony, Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to Alan Levy, the founder of NewsGPT. Alan, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Tony, absolute pleasure. Pretty excited to speak to you and your audience about NewsGPT and about AI in general.
Absolutely. We've always tried to, it's a small business, and we always try to optimize technology to see how far we can push it to make things easier, to be able to do more, and to optimize the time of everybody that works in the business. So, reading up about NewsGPT a little bit, it's obviously another tool, and trying to find out where would we fit into this cog, and where would other news people and PR people, et cetera, fit into the cog, and looking for, what does it mean, and that sort of thing. So thank you, first of all, for taking the time to chat to me. And then, maybe let's start with just giving us an overview as to why NewsGPT and where did the idea come from? Your background, how NewsGPT, you know?
Okay, amazing. So I'll try and unpack a lot of that. So a little bit about my background. I am what Americans call a serial entrepreneur. So I've been starting my own businesses literally out of school. I live in America now, but I'm obviously ex-South African, as you can hear from my accent. Back in the day, I got a master's degree in economics from Rao University when it was still called Rao. And that led me kind of to start on an entrepreneurial journey. And ChatGPT basically introduced the world to generative AI. So what I'd like to do is just explain a little bit what AI is, because people seem to be still a little bit confused about it, and then go on to NewsGPT. So AI, everyone understands, stands for artificial intelligence. But the explanation of that is trying to artificially or synthetically recreate human intelligence or recreate intelligence. So when people first started using the words artificial intelligence or neural networks, which was around the 1950s, they were almost booed off stage because no one could believe it. It was a step too far for the human imagination to believe that a machine or a computer could actually be intelligent. A computer was something that you inputted ones and zeros in binary, and then you got an output. And that's what a computer was. And when people used to stand on stage and say, we would like to create a neural network or something that mimics the human brain, they were literally laughed out the room, literally. And cut to 70 years later, and it's pretty easy to go onto ChatGPT and to ask it a question and to see the very, very human response or human-like response that it gives you. So the difference between artificial intelligence and computer programming is basically computer programming is us telling the computer what to do. We say to the computer, make us a Word document, and the computer will do it. The computer's not thinking about that, it's following instructions. Artificial intelligence is different because artificial intelligence is like having the smartest child on earth, but they know nothing and you have to teach them everything. So you can think about it
It's a
like
good
that.
analogy.
Thank you. If you had a kid and they were brilliant and they went for neural examinations and the doctor said, wow, you've got the next Albert Einstein, but they don't know anything. They don't know how to walk. They don't know how to count. They don't know how to do anything. You need to teach them. That is what artificial intelligence is, and that is what OpenAI and the big artificial intelligence companies have helped bring to the world. So, it's very interesting for a human being to try and wrap their mind around something other than us having intelligence. And that brings me to kind of our company, which is NewsGPT. Our website's newsgpt.ai. And we are the world's first live 24/7 AI news station. So you can think of it like CNN or Fox or BBC. Okay, but there are no humans involved in the news generation process. We have this brilliant, brilliant child. And what we've taught our brilliant child to do is we've taught our brilliant child to write news stories, to write headlines, to select the pictures or the images that go along with it, to select the videos. And we are in the very early and very embryonic stages of the business, but we can definitely see that our models are already beginning to understand what interesting news looks like, how to present a news story, how to find the news. So it's been an exceptionally exciting journey. And again, basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to recreate the 24/7 news network without using any human intervention.
Okay. And so but where does it find the story? How does it go about picking up what to write and what not? Because it's obviously, it needs information, as you say. Somebody needs to teach it. But correct. Part of that teaching is providing it with information.
Correct.
How do you go about that? What sort of method have you got?
So there's two steps involved in that. The one is teaching it how to use the information, and the other one is teaching it where to look for the information. So I'm smiling a little bit because the first question that everyone always asks me is, how does the AI know, or how does the language model know where to find the stories? And I'll go into some detail. Usually my glib answer is, how do human journalists know where to find the stories or where to look for the stories? So when you think about AI as a replica of human intelligence, it can be taught the same way that we taught. So if I was teaching a journalist at journalism school, I would say to them, the way that you need to find a story is you've got to see what is happening in the world at the moment. You've got to research that event, and you've got to put together a story around that event, and that is news. That is almost exactly what we teach in our AI to do. Our AI is going on the internet and looking for events around the world. We're teaching it what a newsworthy event looks like. And then we're teaching it how to research that event, and then how to present that research in a way that's exciting or interesting for human beings. So currently, the big event that's going on around the world is obviously the wars in the Middle East and the wars in Ukraine, which are, you know, a daily occurrence. And what's happening is that we're not saying to our AI, go look at these events. We're saying to our AI, go look at all the events in the world. And it's doing that by obviously reading and researching articles on the internet. And then say, decide for yourself which ones are interesting, which ones are newsworthy. And then try and check the facts of those articles and then present it to us in an amazing way. And what's very interesting is that the stories that it comes up with and the research that it comes up with are very similar at the moment to what human journalists are coming up with. So it will report the same way on the Israel war as a human journalist will report on it. Sometimes it gives a little bit of a different perspective or a lot of a different perspective. And we bill it as the unhuman truth, because we see the articles at the exact same time as the public sees the articles. So there's no human intervention. There isn't an editor in our newsroom. No one is reading those articles, and no one is looking at those articles. They're literally being researched, written, and released by an artificial intelligence, which is somewhere in the border of miraculous and creepy. I can't decide which one, but it's somewhere in that nebulous area.
But just to ask you about this, the unbiased, I mean, the sources where the AI will find the information will obviously have their bias written in. depending on who writes it and where, etc. How would the AI be able to discern or pick up the bias or unbias the bias?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. I need to just start with a disclaimer that all of us are in version V1 of our products. In other words, ChatGPT is in version V1, NewsGPT is in version V1. It's a very new emerging technology, and we don't claim to be anywhere near unbiased yet. But it definitely is our North Star. It's where, like, skating to where the puck's going to be. So if you think about human beings, it's impossible for any human being to write an unbiased story. Everything is going to be through the lens of our biases. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can give you kind of an example that might illustrate it. When I was in America when Donald Trump was elected as president, if you watch CNN, okay, they said that there was no one or very few people who attended the inauguration rally. If you watched Fox News, it said it was standing room only. You could barely get into that inauguration rally.
Yeah.
Okay. Both of those stations had their biases. Okay. The truth is that through satellite imaging, it was very, very easy for an artificial intelligence to corroborate which is true and which is false. Okay. Yeah. One of them is de facto or in the fact true, and one of them is false. So an AI could have gone in and said there are exactly 57,312 people standing at the rally. Here is the satellite image. That is the unbiased truth. And it would be very difficult for a human being to argue with that. So there are things that AI can do that a human being can never do. And even more fundamentally, that a human being might not want to do. If the rally was well attended, CNN might not want to report on that. If the rally was badly attended, Fox might not want to report on that. So an AI gives us an ability to do something that no one else can do. And the AI is not thinking about who it's sponsoring its commercials or who's paying its salary. It's just writing the news as it sees it. So that's kind of the thesis, and that's where we go in. And again, the disclaimer is if your listeners go onto newsgpt.ai and read the stories, they'll notice that certain of the stories are definitely biased at the moment. What we've also got is we've got a mechanism where a reader or a viewer can vote the story as fake news or share the truth. What happens is that when they do that, or when people do that, the AI actually learns from that as well. So it's crowdsourcing or crowdsourcing the truth. So again, a great example is if we say, last night there was a massive earthquake in Haiti. If you lived in Haiti and there was not a massive earthquake, you can go on, you can click fake news. Okay, if enough people do that, the AI will check it with satellite images and make sure if it was true or not.
Okay.
So it turns the viewer from kind of a passive viewer into an active participant in creating the news, which is a very, also very, very exciting development for us.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. So now, how do you see this? Do you see this becoming the same as people going onto Fox News for news, or going on to, in our case, reading a newsletter from Daily Maverick? They will do the same with with NewsGPT then. Is that your aim?
Absolutely. So basically, our aim is to provide people with what the AI thinks is the truth. Okay. And I'm choosing my words pretty carefully, because it's not what I think or the editors think. Often our newsgpt.ai will publish articles that I don't agree with. And, you know, as part of the company, that's a very interesting situation to be in. You know, my team and I read the articles and we're saying, you know, it might not be our own views or our own biases, but that's kind of the interesting part of AI. So what we hope in is that it's not going to replace human journalists, not going to replace human interest stories, and AI in 2023 can't look into someone's eyes or interview someone the way that we can. But what it can do is it can help round out the journalistic and reporting universe. So I still watch CNN, I still watch Fox News, I still watch BBC, I still watch that to get a picture of the news. In conjunction with that, I'm watching our channel, newsgpt.ai, every day, and I'm seeing what does the AI think? And as I say, remarkably, it's picking and choosing a lot of the same stories and the same narratives as what I call mainstream media. But then it's also starting in certain cases to depart from the narrative. And I think that's where it's most interesting. So I think, you know, in the future, what's going to happen is that people are going to want both. They're going to want news written by humans, but they're also going to want to see what a real unbiased news source looks like, or something with no political agenda. It's very, very... The news stations, and it's a model that's worked for them very well, have all chosen a political side, okay? And they stick to that side, and that's great, and it's a model. But it's definitely not giving an unbiased view of the world. It's definitely giving a biased view of the world.
But it will be draining itself, basically, now, on because of the information that it receives or finds, plus the information that people provide, and it then doing its own investigation, so to speak, into the biasness, etc., and through that becoming less and less subjective in terms of other people's bias.
Absolutely correct. And here I need to mention my team, who are, you know, we've got Cambridge educated large language learning model experts. We've got MIT statisticians on the team. We've got an MIT PhD on the team. So our team is a team of engineers. It's not a team of reporters, and it's not a team of journalists. Okay. Brilliant, brilliant people. And what they are trying to do is they are trying to teach the model to train itself. So that's, again, I just want to unpack that a little bit. If you think about it, there's 2 billion people with cell phones. Everyone is posting content on the internet all day long on sites like Instagram, sites like Facebook, sites like TikTok. That is actually a tiny mini news station. Now, it's impossible for a journalist or someone like me or you to go and view 2 billion images every day, or read 2 billion stories that people are posting. But an AI could do that. So an AI, what our team is trying to do is trying to say to the AI, look at where the sources of information are. You now have 2 billion citizen journalists walking around with cameras, taking photos of things every day and reporting on them, okay? How do we take that information and correlate it and make it into a news story? So, you know, something very kind of a positive thing might be if, and I hope this happens to you, if one of your relatives wins the lottery, okay, you might be there at that exact moment. You might snap a photo with your cell phone and say, oh my God, cousin Jack just won the lottery. Okay. It would take a news reporter 2 or 3 days to report that story. It might take an AI 30 seconds. So an AI, you know, might say, Tony's cousin Jack in Johannesburg wins the lottery, 50 million rand now.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing that an AI can do that a human being could never do or could never do in a fast turnaround time.
Yeah, yeah. So now here comes the sort of biased question from my side.
Amazing.
Is if you were me, how would you approach News GPT to help you in your business?
That's actually a great question. I think that, you know, we've actually been approached by a few news organizations already. And we have got a department that just kind of works with news organizations to try and marry human journalism and marry AI. Because for the next at least decade, we're going to have to live in this world where humans and AI cooperate in order to give the customers the best content. So what you've got in your business, okay, is you've got a desire to give your listeners unbelievably exciting content, okay, and true content. The AI can assist with that. So it can do a lot of the heavy lifting. And so basically what will happen is that what we see happening is in, especially in the near term, we see a lot of the technology that we develop in being used or migrated to mainstream media, especially with regards to things like fact checking, especially with regards to things like up to the minute news streams. So, you know, if you had a guest on your show, for example, and they were saying something that needed to be fact checked, the AI could probably do it live in real time. So if I was on the call with you now and you said to me, is NewsGPT a 24-hour AI-generated news station? I said, yes. In the background, an AI could check that there actually is a news station, that that website does exist, and that what I'm saying is the truth. The other thing that AI can also assist with is trying to find the interesting connections or interesting events that human beings cannot connect. So for us, it's very, very difficult, or for human beings, it's very, very difficult to connect large amounts of data. For computers, it's very, very easy. Again, I'm going to give you a great example. If you've got an election coming up, okay, what we can do as human beings is we can go and talk to our friends and we can say, who are you voting for in the election? Okay, we can watch CNN or Fox, or we can look at election data polls and try and see what we think is going to be. What an AI can do is it can go to everyone's social media feeds, see what posts they put in up, read all those posts, understand it, okay? See if they put in up posts about Trump or Biden or, you know, South African political party, whatever, and it can correlate that information and give a much more accurate picture. So to your question, I think the AI is going to help in almost every aspect of your business, in from, you know, kind of selecting guests, what questions to ask, fact checking it, making it, even making it more interesting. I'm going to go back to the original thing I said, which is think of having the smartest child in the world. At some point in time, you're hoping that child comes home to you and says, Dad or Mom, I can do things better than you. You've now taught me. I'm 20 times smarter than you. I can show you how to make your lives better and easier. That is essentially the journey that we need to go on with AI, not replacing us, working with us and teaching us how to be better at things that we do.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm at the moment, you know, ChatGPT does a lot of heavy lifting for me in the business. It probably saves me at least 2 or 3 hours a day. So I'm looking forward to exploring your NewsGPT and working out how to fit that into what I do on a daily basis, you know. So, yeah.
Thanks so much. I think also the news feeds and the stories are very, very interesting because the AI is selecting it and then are becoming, interesting enough, are becoming more interesting over time. This website, the technology's been in development for over a year, but our channel's only been alive for 60 days. On the first day, I would have considered it pretty boring and long-winded, okay? By 60 days later, it's already very, very interesting content, and I would challenge your listeners to go listen to it or watch it at newsgpt.ai and comment on if they think the content is A, true, and B, interesting, and the AI will learn from the comments. Even if you type into the comment box, this comment sucks, or this was amazing, the AI understands it and learns from it and improves it. So we can already see a dramatic improvement in the way that it tells the news in 60 days, and a dramatic improvement in the stories it's selecting, And as I say, it's kind of at the intersection of incredible and creepy. So it's very, very exciting space to be in.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Alan, thanks so much for your time. It was really great chatting to you. And yeah, good luck with training your dragon. And let's see where we're going to end up. Yeah.
Totally appreciate it. Absolutely awesome.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much and have a really good day.
Thanks.